At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alan Norris, President and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, Mr. Norris.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today for Brookfield Residential's year-end conference call. On the call with me today is Craig Laurie, our Chief Financial Officer. I will provide some comments on the current market conditions, our accomplishments over the last year, and specifically since the merger on March 31, 2011, and the outlook going forward. These comments are also reflected in my letter to shareholders, which was posted on our website yesterday. Craig will then provide financial highlights of our operations and financial results. I would at this time remind you that in responding to questions and in talking about our new initiatives and our financial and operating performance, we may make forward-looking statements. These statements are subject to known and unknown risks, and future results may differ materially. For further information for investors, I would encourage you to review our interim report and supplemental information package, both of which will be available on our website. Our performance in the fourth quarter was extremely positive, particularly due to our Canadian operations. As we discussed on previous calls, and as anticipated, a significant portion of our 2011 income before taxes was back-end loaded to the fourth quarter, with $49 million of our income before taxes occurring in this quarter. Our Canadian operations continue to perform well, with strong sales carry forward into 2012. Our future looks good also, with Alberta's unemployment rate now at only 4.9%. Thousands of jobs were created in 2011, many related to capital projects slated for Northern Alberta. Given the normal time lag between job creation and home ownership, this augurs very well for our future in Alberta. There have been some press articles concerning a housing bubble in Canada. However, when these are analyzed closely, the concerns primarily surround housing prices in Vancouver and high-rise prices in Toronto, neither of which are areas or segments that we operate in. In the U.S., while we see some signs of optimism, the markets still remain challenging. We are, however, well-positioned in our targeted real estate markets and where good acquisition opportunities exist. As we reflect on our accomplishments since the merger on March 31, there are many. We effected the management changeover seamlessly and have our next generation leaders in place, while our seasoned managers are still available to coach and mentor. We amended the terms of two of our related party debt obligations in order to ensure we have sufficient liquidity for future opportunities. As of December 31, 2011, we have over $144 million of available lines of credit in Canada and $74 million available in the U.S. We acquired $140 million of land in Canada and the U.S., which we believe will provide an appropriate return based on today's pricing and absorptions. The vast majority of these lands are short-term in nature and will provide returns over the next 1 to 3 years. Included in my comments in the last conference call, I mentioned that we were committed to providing more information to investors to better understand our key competitive advantages and in turn accurately value the company. With that in mind, our press release provides more financial information, and the corporate profile posted to our website provides more detailed information on our land and housing inventory. I will also profile one or two projects in each quarterly letter to shareholders to describe the types of assets that we own and how we apply our philosophy of development. While the bulk of these projects are residential in nature, we also create commercial and industrial lands that may form part of several of our master plan communities. We generally build homes on 15 to 20% of our own land, with the remaining lots and parcels being sold to third-party builders. Our portfolio is unique in the North American marketplace and places us in the advantageous position of having solid cash flows and performance from our Canadian operations with good optionality and upside from a U.S. housing recovery. Our discipline and in-depth knowledge of the North American market bodes well for this to occur. Our view for 2012 is for similar but marginally improving markets in North America. We're hopeful that with the opening of several new communities in the U.S., some commercial parcel sales, and executing on our excellent sales backlog, our 2012 normal operating income will improve and replace some of the non-recurring income of 2011. Thanks to all our employees, building partners, trade partners, consultants, lenders, and shareholders. It's an exciting time to be in the business, and we look forward to sharing it. I'd like now to turn the call over to Craig, who will discuss our financial performance for the 3- and 12-month period ending December 31, 2011.
Thank you, Alan, and good morning, everyone. Given the state of the North American market and the impact of the merger, our overall performance for the year was reasonably positive. Our income before taxes for the year of $130 million is broken down as follows. $81 million of income from normal recurring operations and $49 million of income from a non-recurring change in business practice as a result of the merger. Minority interest and the tax provision of $123 million, including the write-off of the U.S. deferred tax asset, net income down to $7 million, or 7 cents per share, compared to net income of $168 million, or $1.11 per share for the year ended December 31st, 2010. The decrease in net income primarily reflected increased interest expense of $37 million, resulting from the transaction debt, and the income tax valuation of $71 million. Results in 2012 should be more straightforward as these non-recurring items are now behind us. The company currently sells from 21 active land communities and 33 active housing communities. From these communities, the company closed 3,653 lots and 1,330 homes for the year ended December 31st, 2011. The company's average selling price of land delivered for the year ended December 31st, 2011 was $151,000 per lot, compared to $139,000 during the same period last year, with the increase largely a result of product mix. The company's average selling price of homes delivered during the year of 2011 was relatively consistent at $374,000 compared to $375,000 during the same period last year. For the year ended December 31st, 2011, land revenue totaled $524 million compared to $355 million for the same period of 2010. Approximately $189 million of the increase was due to the change in business practice. Gross margins on lot sales for the year ended December 31st, 2011 were 44%, similar to 2010. For the year ended December 31st, 2011, housing revenue totaled $484 million. Compared to $599 million for the same period of 2010, commensurate with the reduced home closings in the U.S. Gross margins on home sales for the year ended December 31st were 15%, compared to 18% for 2010. The decrease is due to reduced volumes and product mix in the U.S. operation. However, net new home orders for the year ended December 31st, 2011 were 13% higher compared to the same period in 2010. Net income for the 3 months ended December 31st, 2011 totaled $26 million, or 25 cents per share, compared to net income of $41 million, or 35 cents per share for the 3 months ended December 31st, 2010. The decrease was primarily a result of the interest expense of $12 million with the addition of the notes that were issued to Brookfield Office Properties in connection with the merger. For the 3 months ended December 31st, 2011, land revenue totaled $165 million compared to $108 million for the same period of 2010. Approximately $36 million of the increase was due to the change in business practice previously discussed. For the 3 months ended December 31st, 2011, housing revenue totaled $199 million compared to $191 million for the same period of 2010. Home closings for the 3 months ended December 31st, 2011 increased by approximately 5%. In comparison to the same period in 2010. Gross margins on home sales for the 3 months ended December 31st, 2011 were 15% compared to gross margin on home sales for the same period in 2010 of 17%. The decrease was due to reduced volumes and product mix in the U.S. operation. Moving to our balance sheet, as at December 31st, our primary asset, our housing and land inventory, totaled $2.3 billion. Or approximately 89% of our total assets, similar to prior quarters and December 31st, 2010. Receivables increased by approximately $50 million from the third quarter of 2011 with the fourth quarter Alberta lot sales. The mortgages registered in the lot sales generally are for a term of 9 months. Cash flow from operating activities during the 12 months ended December 31st, 2011 totaled $23 million after $140 million of acquisitions made during the period. The company works to balance taking advantage of acquisition opportunities with the overall capital planning and believes they will provide an appropriate return with today's metrics and absorption. Thank you for joining us in our year-end conference call. I'll now turn the call back to the operator who will moderate questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from Michael Dreg of BAWAG. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a quick question you just touched on a moment ago on the cash flow. The pretty dramatic increase in accounts receivable and also decrease in payables. I was wondering for the full year, considering that that is kind of very different from what occurred in 2010, is it possible if you could discuss what the drivers of those cash outflows were?
Sure. This is Craig. So the receivables are a result of our lot sales in Canada this year, particularly Alberta, were very back-end loaded, so a lot of them occurred within the fourth quarter. A high number of those lot sales come with where we provide mortgage financing for the 9 months that I just touched on. So that's why there's a big increase in the accounts receivable. In terms of the payables, there was nothing special. I think that was just timing.
So these are just timing issues that should reverse theoretically.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? I'm not familiar with the 9 month mortgage financing that you're providing on these lots. Is that just a temporary financing, or
no,
Michael,
do
they
it's
need?
Alan. It's Alan here. Let me just touch on that. That's it's a business practice that we've done for over 50 years in the province of Alberta here, where you sell lots to third party builders, and the concept is that you take 20% down and you take a note back for the 9 month period, and you collect that. It gives the builder time to be working with their customer. It's been a business practice. It's been accepted here for many, many years. And the bad debts that result from that are absolutely negligible over the last 30-plus years through all sorts of cycles. So it's just typically the capitalization of the builders does not allow them to be paying 100% cash on day one. So it allows them to be working with customers and then close on the transaction either through builder mortgages with customers or other facilities. So it's been an accepted practice for many years.
Okay. Can you give a little detail on the $140 million that you guys spent on land in the quarter? And what I mean, I know this is what you call a short-term project, but can you give us some details on what that means and why are you confident that it's a short-term turnaround for these assets?
Yeah, the 140 was over the whole 12 months, not just a quarter, okay? Just so we clarify that. There was a few projects that we bought, for instance, say in Northern California, which are tend to be more I would call housing-type ventures where we are buying finished lots in a situation where it might only be an 80-lot community, and we will be building out the homes in that community, and the absorptions would be expected to be, say, 30 to 40 a year. So it's a 1 to 2 year build-out, as an example. We bought some similar projects, I would say, in Ontario. And so there were two or three, I would say, in the Bay Area, and one in Ontario, and some in Alberta here, which one of them was slightly longer term, but another one shorter term. So generally speaking, the point we're trying to make is that even with extending out the liquidity or the terms on the notes, we believe we can make the appropriate returns over the next 1 to 3 years on some of these acquisitions and still have the liquidity available on the new maturities for the debt, for the notes payable.
Okay, thanks very much. That's all for me.
As a reminder, anyone who has a question may press star and one on their telephone. The next question is from Mike Mitchell of Locust Wood. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, good morning.
Hey Mike.
On that last point about the $140 million, can you talk about what types of returns, just percentage-wise, ballpark it for us, you're expecting on that?
We'd be looking on an unlevered basis, Mike, to be getting a 20% return on investment.
Okay, great. And then the taxes in the quarter, it looked like the tax rate was approaching 50%. Is there something that was driving that? Is that sort of a – how should we think about the normalized taxes?
Sure, Mike, this is Craig. So our overall tax rate on the Canadian earnings going forward in 2012 would be 27%. It was 28% in 2011, and then it would have been 29% in 2010. The future earnings in the U.S. will be sheltered by our NOLs.
Okay.
In terms of the specific to the fourth quarter, much of the Canadian tax expense was pushed into the fourth quarter with almost all of our Toronto taxable income occurring in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
The actual... If you're just looking quarter over quarter, the actual Canadian taxable income was quite a bit higher in the fourth quarter of 2011, but you also had a higher U.S. loss in corporate expense in 2011, which partially offset the growth. When you look on an apples-to-apples basis, it would have been about the same rate.
Okay, and you weren't reporting a deduction from U.S. earnings because you're not recognizing that NOL. Is that why the tax rate would skew so high?
Yeah.
Okay. So go forward out of Canada, as we think about Canada being profitable, the tax rate will be in the high 20s, something like 27%.
Okay.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Alan Norris.
Thanks, operator. I wasn't quite expecting that. So thank you very much indeed for listening into our year-end conference call. And if there are any other questions that anybody has, feel free to contact Craig or myself on any other points.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating. Have a pleasant day.